Job chapter 12. But ask the animals, and they will teach you, or the birds in the sky, and they will tell you. Or speak to the earth, and it will teach you, or let the fish in the sea inform you. Which of all these does not know that the hand of the Lord has done this? In his hand is the life of every creature and the breath of all mankind.
G'day and welcome to the Aussie Pastor Live, right here on Faith FM.
G'day, g'day, g'day. My name is Lloyd Grolleman. I'm the Aussie Pastor, and I'm coming to you today on Monday, which is not our normal day. I'm coming to you from Queensland. Beautiful, beautiful Queensland, just north of Brisbane.
Watson Park. I'll tell you a bit.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Are you butting in before we start?
Do my best.
Yeah, that's right. Well, I'll tell you who that is in a minute. Hold on, listeners. Coming to you from Kalanga in Brisbane. That's just north of Brisbane on a beautiful day. And we're doing something really, really special this week. I'm going to tell you a little bit more about that in a moment. Hunty, welcome to the program.
Thank you, mate. It's good to be welcome.
You wanted to get in pretty quick today.
I thought you were stumbling to where we were at.
No, no, I'm not stumbling at all. I'm on the money, mate.
G'day, listeners. Thank you for joining us.
Of course I know where we are. This is home.
I'm in Brisbane, mate. It's got a different name now.
No, it hasn't.
Oh, okay.
What do you think it's called?
I thought that's what I said to us last time.
Kalanga.
Yeah, that's what I know it as, Kalanga.
Dacobin.
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 D-A-K-A-B-I-N. But it's Kalanga.
It's nice to be here.
Yeah. Where are we, Hunty?
We're in South Queensland.
Now, I want to welcome you.
Thank you.
We've got another visitor coming, and I tell you, we are just hoping desperately.
I'm staring at an empty chair, mate.
Yes, we're hoping he turns up. He's got to turn up. He promised.
That's
who
right.
is it, Hunty?
We've got the program manager of Faith FM. His name's Robbie Bergen.
Everybody knows. If you listen to Faith FM, you know who Robbie Bergen is.
He's the star of Faith FM.
And he's coming in, and we got a really exciting day.
Lloyd has some questions for him, which I think could choke a horse. I look forward to it.
We're going to do our best to stir him up,
yeah, that's for sure.
Hey, this day, do you know what the date is, Hunty?
Yeah, it's Monday the 16th of September.
It is. In fact, it's 2 days. On Saturday, I turned 61.
You did. Happy birthday for Saturday.
Yeah.
I wish you happy birthday Saturday night. Do you remember? You were being beseeched by people trying to wish you happy birthday.
Yeah, well, we did something pretty special on Saturday night.
We
had a hymn sing.
We had a hymn sing, yeah.
At our church in Sydney, we had 300 people turn. Normally, we get 1,000 people turn up to have a hymn sing, but we kind of got squashed a bit on venue, Hunty, because our venue went up from, what, $2,000 or $3,000 to $12,000.
Yeah, they charged us last year only a few $1,000, and this year we went back to do a hymn sing, and they said, oh, look, $15,000, but we'll give you a couple of thousand discount because we like you. And another $1,000 off because the pastor's your friend. So they took it down to $12,000.
Hey, we can't say anything, but there's some big news coming out about New Hope Hymn Sing next
year.
Man,
is there some big news for next
Hunty,
year's program.
Hunty, is it going to be a... When we get, we're here in Kalanga. We're here for 5 days. So you're going to hear from us. I think every day... If Robbie was here, I'd check on the time, but I think it's every day, Monday to Friday, 3:30 to 5:30.
Yes, that's the time.
Yeah. So you're going to hear us, Aussie Pastor.
We're going to be on... About the rest of the news, the noise they can hear?
Yeah, tell them about the noise.
So we're in the convention centre.
No, we're not. It's the exhibition hall.
Oh... Okay, so we're in the exhibition hall.
Get that right, dude.
And there's people all around. There's and booths showing off their wares and
yeah, that's booths. B-O-O-T-H-S.
Yeah, thank you.
Like a little what would you say? You come in here and you got a whole lot of. Okay, look, I'll tell you where we are. We're at a place called Big Camp.
Yes.
And on Saturday, there'll be 10,000 Seventh-day Adventists and friends from all over South Queensland here. Hey, I want to tell your listeners that the star of the show has turned up, Robbie Bergen. We're very grateful and thankful for that. He's sitting down. He'll be on mic in a minute.
He's still catching his breath, mate.
Yeah, we'll give him time. While he's doing that, we'll come back to what we're at and what we're doing. Hey, this day in history, Hunty.
What have you got?
1620, the Pilgrims. Set sail for Virginia from Plymouth,
wow,
England.
Wow, that's a big day.
You know who the Pilgrims are?
Yeah, the ones that founded the white USA.
Well, yeah, European
USA. I mean, the Indians were already there.
They reckon there was 3 million Indians there or something.
Cool.
Yeah.
Very cool.
So that happened on this day, September 16, 1620. 1848, I like this, slavery was abolished in the French territories. I always like to give those sorts of announcements. Yeah. And so the French got into that. 1908, one of the great... motor car companies of the world was founded?
Oh, 08.
And you love them.
Henry Ford.
No.
Oh.
Worse.
Jeep.
The enemy.
The enemy.
Who could General Motors Corporation. Oh, that, for those of you who don't know, Acker Holden. Well, it's not really Holden. It's the American parent company, started this day in 1908. And I think we're pretty... Look, I'm pretty happy with General Motors.
Yeah,
we had a flat bottom... wasn't a flat bottom, actually. It was a Stevens dragboat, quarter-mile champion of Victoria.
Yep.
It had a 350 Chev. That's a General Motors. We don't mind them. And they're the ones who brought out the A9X.
We do love that Tirana.
We do.
Yes.
We love them. And we like the SLR 34.
We can't talk about cars too much. Apparently, we're too car-centric.
Oh, who said that?
Some listeners have been feeding back to me.
Oh, okay. Well, we won't talk any more about this. Hey, 1956,
yeah.
One of the channels, the big Australian television channels start. You've worked for these guys, Hunty.
Yes.
Who?
Well, I've worked for all of them, so.
Which one would you think started on this day? 56. So,
nine. 50, that's Channel like, 9.
Yeah, it is Channel 9.
Cool.
Started this day in 1956. In 1959, I find this really interesting, the first successful photocopier, a Xerox 914, was demonstrated.
That's very
Don't you love the photocopiers?
I do.
Do they still use them, or are they, is that done?
No, we still use them.
We do? What would you use a photocopier for today? When you can just send it to someone's phone or around the office on computer.
Apparently there are military applications and other applications. They still have them for that.
Okay, 1963, Malaysia was formed.
Cool.
Do you know what countries Malaysia was formed from?
Was it Myanmar? No.
Malaya.
Malaya.
Singapore. North Borneo. I never knew that. Make sure I get this right. And Sarawak. However, Singapore was chucked out not long after Malaysia. That's another story. I know that story too. 1975, this is Papua New Guinea Independence Day from Australia.
That's awesome.
And it was an amicable Independence Day. Happy if you're PNG,
happy Independence Day.
And they'll be in the NRL here in Australia real soon. 1987, the Montreal Protocol.
If they're in the NRL, who are they going to go for? Because currently they go for
Queensland.
They can't be in the NRL and go for Queensland.
They can, they will.
They'll have to go for PNG.
They're north. They're Queensland.
They'll have to go for PNG.
PNG is part of Queensland.
Queensland will lose half of its supporters.
You better be careful up here because you are in our country, you are in our land, and you are in our territory, and we're not going to put up any cheek from you.
Well, we took
and
the if I have any problems, origin, just
if I have any problems
that.
From you, I'm going to call in the troops. Hey, Robbie, welcome.
Am I on?
You're on.
Absolutely, I am. Absolutely, yes. Okay.
It's good to get here.
It is very good to get here.
Yeah.
Yeah. You've just walked out of a meeting, is that right?
I ran. I was running. I said to everyone, I'm going to finish early because I've got to get on radio. And then I'm the only person talking, and I looked around like, oh, I'm supposed to have left already.
Did you get held up on the way of people trying to talk to you?
I just kept running.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I had a couple people say, oh, you're in a hurry. I said, yeah, don't talk. Running.
This one.
Okay.
1987 Montreal.
Hey, just quick, on the NRL one.
Yes.
Yep.
I thought the rule was it was the first state they played rugby in.
Yes.
The rule is that if you're north of the border, you cheer for Queensland. North of the border. And there's some outposts in Sydney. I'm one of them. Very strong outposts of light down there in Sydney.
Well, he was born in New South Wales, so he's kind of a traitor anyway.
That bothers Hunty, but he doesn't understand the concept of being born again.
That was good. That was
you were born in Queensland. You're Ridge, is that right?
Maybe. So, I was born in Sydney.
Were you really?
I was, but
at the Adventist Hospital down there.
I spent my entire life up here.
Yeah. Well, that's the same as me.
Yeah.
Except for the last 25 years I've been in Sydney. I've been a missionary down there. Yeah. 1987, Montreal Protocol. This is right down your alley, Hunty. What's that? Come on.
Montreal.
Yep, come on.
I can't guess it.
It was a Montreal Protocol. Yep. It was a treaty signed to protect the ozone layer.
Oh, yes, thank you for
that. And you're right into that.
I am.
Yeah, Hunty's a wealth of...
The fact that we've got ozone layer again. You know, we lost it for quite a few years.
I was hoping you wouldn't get caught in this spiel.
We let so much air conditioning gas out over time, we killed it.
Okay.
You want some more mic, dear mate?
No, I'm telling you to get closer to the mic. You're drifting.
I drifted, thank you.
I enjoyed doing that.
Oh, that's the first time I've copped that one.
1993, the sitcom Frasier.
Love
Frasier. Spin-off from Cheers, starring Kelsey Grammer, debuted on NBC. I like it too. Have you ever seen Frasier?
Yeah, I have.
The problem with these sitcoms, this is me, is they're often morally bankrupt.
Correct.
So they're funny, but they're morally bankrupt.
Yes. That's
right. Does that make sense?
That's what makes it funny.
So, I don't know. I'm not sure about that.
They're stealing and thieving and lying and doing naughty things.
You're treading on a very fine line today.
The thing is, though, I always find them predictable.
Yeah.
It's just like, you know how it's going to end, and it's just like, yeah, okay.
Okay, so you were never into them?
No, even when Frasier was on, back in the day. Like, I remember it as a kid on TV and stuff, or teenager, and it didn't really... I remember Cheers as well. Cheers was like, that was the only primetime thing on in the evenings back then.
Cheers was the one that started before Frasier.
Yeah.
You know, the interesting thing is Frasier, and this is fact, the guy, what's his name, Kelsey Grammer?
Kelsey Grammer, yeah.
Has had a conversion to Jesus Christ.
Has he really?
He has. He has. And it's real.
There's been a few of those sitcom stars that have done that.
Yeah. He brought out a movie. I'm trying to remember what it was. It was about the really... Greg... what's his name? Really famous evangelist from LA. Greg... anyway, he came through the hippie... You know that hippie revival movie in the 70s?
Yeah.
And he brought a movie. I'll find out what it is and let you know later. Really, really good movie about... the working of Jesus Christ in the hippie movement of the 70s, how he turned LA and San Francisco upside down.
This wasn't the recent movie that came out, was it?
Yeah, it's the last two or three years.
Yeah, Jesus Revolution or something.
Yeah, well, it was, Jesus Revolution.
Yeah.
And Kelsey Grammer was the pastor in it. But
he really?
Yeah, he was.
I didn't know that.
And he'd had this conversion to Christ before he brought this movie out.
Okay.
And he brought it out because he wanted people to see that Jesus was real. He was changing lives, even in secular America. And it's interesting to listen to him as he talks about where he is now, where he's been. Just goes to show Jesus saves anyone, doesn't he?
It's amazing.
Yeah, it is. And the last one, Hunty, because we're running short. What are we going for time here, buddy?
We've got about 20 seconds left.
The last one, 1997, Apple Computer did something. This is right down your alley.
97?
97.
Apple iPhone?
That was a Macintosh.
It's bigger than that.
No, it was the touch thing, the music pod thing.
Nah, it's even bigger than that.
No.
What? This is the biggest thing, I reckon. This is the one single thing that made Apple the company it is today, I reckon.
Tell us.
They made Steve Jobs CEO.
Oh, that was very cool.
Yeah, okay.
Because he was CEO to start with, you know.
He got fired.
Him and Steve Wozniak were both
there were issues.
Yeah, he got fired, though.
Yeah, that's right. There were issues.
They fired him from his own company.
Yeah, and they brought him back. So it was 97, was it?
97.
Because it wasn't long after that the iPod Touch came out or something, whatever it was.
He was behind every major... And Hunty and I talk about this.
Yes.
I haven't seen Apple do a decent innovation since he passed away.
No,
they seem to be just copying everybody.
Yeah.
Am I wrong saying that,
Hunty? He was a hard taskmaster and he expected excellence from all of his crew and he was on the cutting edge and he was a smart man.
Okay.
Yeah.
We're running late, so I'll skip a few things.
Today's run sheet's literally a work of fiction. I already know from the start.
They are when Robbie's here.
Oh, come on, guys.
There's a whole section.
Feel alone.
There's a whole section we normally do, and we've just dropped it. We haven't even...
I wasn't even here.
No, that's right. What about this quote from Martin Luther Jr. King?
Yep.
Martin Luther King Jr. Yep. Darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. Hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that.
Nice.
True?
Very true.
I loved it. Health tip. I've got to put this in, please, Hunty.
What you
I know
got?
We're over later.
What you got?
One thing we've learned from the doctor column, says Tricia Pasricha, is that no topic is off limits with your doctor. Readers have asked a lot of questions about, now, I've got to be careful because we've got the boss here.
Yes.
Poop.
It's important. Call it stools in your okay.
Yeah. A general rule of thumb is that anywhere from 3 bowel movements per day to 3 per week is within range of normal.
That's right.
I didn't know that.
Yep.
Most of the time, poop of a different colour is nothing to worry about and probably a result of what you ate and how your body processed it. If stool is red, maroon or tarry black, did you hear that? Red, maroon or tarry black, you need to talk to your doctor.
The tarry black worries me.
You need to talk to your doctor. It could be something you've eaten, like beetroot, or it could be a sign that you've got a very serious health condition. And, oh, man, I've got to do word of the day. I'm skipping stuff here.
What's your word?
Fact of the day.
Yes.
Hot water will turn into ice faster than cold water.
Really?
True. True.
The Mona Lisa has no eyebrows.
No idea.
Oh, you're telling us what the fact... Okay.
The strongest muscle in the body is the...
Tongue.
Very good.
Man, I should go on Double Jeopardy or something.
Do we get a prize for this?
In a 12-hour period, how long does an ant rest for? This is God. This is amazing.
No,
seven.
7 hours? 8 minutes.
Really?
Oh, you are close in minutes.
They rest for 16 minutes in a 24-hour period, and that's it.
Wow.
God
wow.
made these little fellas.
Yep. Well, there's a Bible text about that. Go to the ant. Thou slug it.
And this, I found this really interesting. What's the shortest complete sentence in the English language? And this has great theological...
I got it.
Yeah?
I am.
It is.
Really? I was going to say I wept, but Jesus wept or something like that.
I am. Why is that? Why does that matter, Robbie? Why am I saying that's got theological connotations?
So we see Jesus use that expression in the New Testament, but he's referring to Old Testament with Moses in, I think it's Exodus 4, yep. I think it is. And I am actually in Hebrew is the word I am, which is the self-existent, always eternal deity.
So when Jesus says, when they come to him, when he's here on earth, and he makes this statement to the Pharisees, these dudes are not friends.
That's
they're
right.
After Jesus big time.
Yep.
But they say, they're talking to him, and then he makes this statement, I am. What's he saying?
He's saying he is Jehovah God. He is God of the Old Testament.
That's right. He's the ultimate. There is none other. I am.
So that's the shortest sentence in English.
Complete sentence in English. It's cool, isn't it?
Very good.
The last one, joke of the day.
What you got?
What do dentists call their x-rays?
Oh, what?
Toothpicks.
I know what time they're taking. 2:30.
Oh, that's awful.
Match dad joke for dad joke, bud.
That's really awful. Hunty, because of that.
Yes.
We're glad our listeners here. We're going to say prayer. I'm glad you're here and glad Robbie's here because we've got a great discussion. We're going to look at five big questions. And the first question we're going to look at today is, did God create the world?
The world.
Is it reasonable to believe that? Would you open for prayer, mate?
Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you that we're in Queensland and we've got a great program lined up. Lord, I'd like to pray for all of our listeners now, Lord. Please bless them, draw them close to you, let them know that you're real. And I pray, Lord, this program will lift you high in our community. In your precious name, Jesus, I ask. Amen.
You're listening to the Aussie Pastor here on Faith FM.
Alrighty, let's have some music. What do you reckon? Okay, the answer is yes. We'll go straight to Shout to the Lord.
My comfort, my shelter.
shout to the Lord. Hunty's doing the music today, so listeners, if there's any troubles and any problems, great risk we took to do that.
Hey, you're sitting next to the boss and choosing the music. How dead am I?
I wasn't even listening. I was talking to someone.
I had you on mute.
Was it good?
I had you on mute.
Was it good?
Great song.
Right. It was a good song, but I'm still very grateful you were on mute. Hey, before we go any further, Robbie, where are we? Tell our listeners where we are. It seems like we were doing this in Western Australia.
Yes.
We were thinking about doing it in Northern Australia.
In Townsville.
I think you stayed long enough, did you? Or did we?
I was in hospital.
Yeah, that's right.
When you were in Townsville, I was in hospital.
That's right.
So that's why I wasn't there. Yeah.
And here we are.
Here we are again.
We've done it here before. Live.
Yeah, we did this last year, didn't we?
I said to Hunty, we're going to have to get some banners so people know what we're doing here.
Yes.
In fact, even tonight, Hunty's going to do some stuff out in the computer and we're going to put it
on that screen out there. Yeah, very good.
Hey, what are we doing here? What is this?
So this has been 2 years in the making. We've talked about this 2 years ago. And what we're doing is we're going to be broadcasting a special edition of Aussie Pastor Live. I think you already said this, but Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and I think you're still around Friday.
Yeah, yeah.
That's it.
I was working out before. That's 10 hours of live content we're doing this week.
It's kind of a merge between the faith experiment and the Aussie Pastor.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Always did a new jingle for it.
Don't tell Hunty that. He'll go home and design one tonight.
He likes jingles.
So this location is, I think of it as North Lakes. I don't know what they're actually called. Dinkabar or something, isn't it?
Dakabin.
Dakabin.
Anyway. It used to be Kalanga, but it's Dakabin.
We're opposite Costco
yeah.
at North Lakes. Anyway, yeah. In Queensland,
yep,
in near north of Brisbane,
yep,
and so this is an annually convention they do here for the Seventh Adventist Church in southeast Queensland, basically Rockhampton down to the Gold Coast and out to
Northern
Territory.
What is a convention? What are you talking about?
I think it's 8 days or 9 day long camp.
I think it starts on a Thursday night and goes through to the following
Saturday night. Yeah, yeah.
10 days.
10 days.
And it's where all the Adventists and anyone else who wants to get together. They're in tents, they're in caravans. How many are here?
I was told on Saturday there was about 4,500. But I'm told that this coming Saturday there'll be closer to 5,000. That's what I'm told.
And we've had bigger too.
Yes.
That's not the, I think we're still recovering from COVID.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And our numbers are still coming back. So we get here, and there's singing, and there's preaching, and there's teaching, and there's fellowship.
There's about eight different, what they call big tents
yep.
across the campus here, and each tent's aimed at different age groups and different themes, and we've got speakers from all over the world here. There's lecturing and master classes on different things, and
yep.
there's stuff for kids. There's with workshops in the afternoons on how to share your faith. Things. It's a pretty full-on week-long event. And so we're here. This is called the Expo Hall, and there's a whole bunch of different ministries.
Which is why we've got noise in the background.
That's right. It's a real live deal sort of environment here. And there's all ministries here who are showcasing what they're doing around not just Queensland but Australia. And obviously Faith of Heaven has been invited here because we do just that too.
It's a funny thing, mate, because I'm a South Queensland boy. Probably more than you.
Probably.
Because you weren't brought up in the church.
No, I wasn't.
I was. So I'm a South Queensland Adventist boy. So I'm sitting here doing radio and people are going past. I haven't seen him in 20 years.
I know. They're shaking your hand. They're giving you the touch. They're wanting the kiss on the cheek.
It's a funny thing.
You're a celebrity up here, mate.
I'm not sure about that. In fact, I know that's not true. But I'm looking at them. I'm trying to work out who they are. And I'm surprised they know because, you know.
Well, I'm glad you're telling the whole of Australia this little secret.
Oh, well, it's all right. I'm a man of the truth. I'm surprised they even know who I am half the time, you know, because we change.
Yeah.
I was working out this morning. It's been since I've been at this camp because I started as a young pastor in this conference. You didn't know that, did you?
No, I didn't.
6 years, Gold Coast 3 years, Sunshine Coast 3 years, youth pastor. So I came to this camp meeting 6 years in a row. It's been 27 years since I was here as a pastor.
Wow. That you've been on TV since then. You've done Aussie Pastor Live, all that sort of stuff. Yeah.
He's taken me on a long, long journey. I have a desire to come back here to live in South Queensland, but I got a sense. You know, when you talk to the Lord, he talks to you. He talks to you about your future, you know.
Sure.
And I got a sense I'll never be back here to live, ever. But every time I come here.
Maybe you retire.
I asked him that, and he kind of said in his own way, no. So I know that sounds a bit funny and a bit weird, but if you have a relationship with Jesus, you know kind of what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
He talks to you about where he wants you and where he doesn't want you. And I've tried to come home, Hunty. That's the truth,
isn't it? That's right.
And he slammed the door shut. And the last time he slammed it, he more or less said to me in his own way, and don't ask anymore.
Don't ask again, he said.
You remember I said that?
Yep.
And I've settled down since then that I'm stuck in Sydney.
All right, let me move this program along.
No need to. No, we're not finished yet. You can turn that off.
I was done.
You are. We're not worrying about him. The producer's out the door today. We've just got, you've got a visitor here with you, Robbie. Can you just introduce him?
Yeah, so this is one of these little expo things. Sometimes we get to bring some staff out with us and to meet and greet people.
Yep.
And today, well, for the whole week, actually, I've got Marco with me. And Marco is our project manager for finding new locations for Faith of Heaven to broadcast in.
In Australia? Or
in Australia.
And so, Marco, actually, do you live up here or do you live down in Sydney? Where are you from?
I'm based in Toowoomba, in Queensland.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Marco's role is to help expand the footprint for Faith FM. So we had, when he started, we were about 230, 40 broadcast sites, and we just hit over 300 broadcast sites. And so, Marco's...
Are they all up and working?
Yeah, yeah. So ask Marco a couple... I've got to go to the air because you're on my mic here. But ask Marco some of the places that we've just done here in Queensland. It's amazing.
Yeah, it's pretty exciting. What is happening in Queensland, Brisbane, Marco?
Well, just 2 weeks ago, we've actually installed the radio in Brisbane CBD. So now listeners in Brisbane City can hear us on 88 FM.
So there are people listening to us right down Brisbane CBD?
Yes.
Our hometown?
That's right.
That is very special. If you're from Brisbane, don't worry about the Broncos. It's still good news. Faith FM is in Brisbane.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, fantastic.
So, yeah, as Robbie said, we've added almost 100 new sites in the last 18 months.
What's your plan for the next 18 months? What do you think? What would you like to see added?
We'd like to see add another 100 at least.
Do you think there'll ever be a time, Marco, where Faith FM will be all around Australia, but we'll be able to listen to it anywhere?
I certainly pray so.
So that would be your aim?
That would be our aim,
to cover the entire continent.
To cover the entire continent, yeah.
Okay.
And we're getting there slowly. And
so is part of your job running around looking for radio, licenses that are for sale? Or?
Correct. So, yeah, I'll look through to see if there's licenses for sale, if licenses are available in certain towns where we would like to set up broadcasts. Also, managing the rollout of new stations. So
do you actually go and do it?
I do some locally here, but our radio engineer, Paul, he travels. He's actually on a trip right now.
Okay.
Travelling down towards Lightning Ridge to have a station set up down there.
Okay. And have you got a lot of stations in the pipeline right now?
Yes. We aim to have another at least 20, possibly 30 done by the end of the year.
Man. Excellent. Where do you get the money to buy it? Are they, well, first of all, are these stations expensive or does it vary?
It varies, but...
At a minimum, what would you pay for one of these stations? Am I allowed to ask that question, Robbie? Yep. Robbie said sure.
generally around about $4,500 roughly.
So that's a minimum. What would you pay for a maximum?
Oh, it could be about $7,000 or $8,000, depending on what we need, equipment that we need to set up. Yeah.
So a radio station, say, in the centre of Brisbane, mm-hmm. is that going to cost you more than, say, one out at Charleville?
No.
Not necessarily?
Not necessarily, no.
Are they hard to get?
What, licenses?
Yeah,
or
licenses.
Licenses are hard to get, yes.
So do you have to compete with other buyers?
Sometimes we do, yeah.
Do you usually win?
I'm
actually generally interested in that.
Generally, God's been good to us. And for example, in Brisbane, we've picked up a number of licenses that were just, somebody let them lapse and nobody else bid for them, which was really surprising.
A miracle,
yeah.
So will Brisbane be covered shortly, or is it...
Currently, we have licenses north of Brisbane and east of Brisbane, so Cleveland, Capalaba area, and Aspley, and we're currently looking for sites to actually install those stations.
Oh, okay, so you buy the license, you still may not have a site.
Correct.
Could a site be someone's house?
Yes, it can be someone's house, a business.
Do you like to have them up on a hill, though? Is that how it works?
Or? That is preferable, because that will make our signal travel a little bit further.
So a signal for a radio station, how wide would it go? Say that Brisbane one. Have you set the Brisbane one up?
Yes, that's set up.
Do you know how wide it goes from where? Where's it set up? Someone's house on top of a building?
It's set up. Oh, okay. Yeah, It's set up in Spring Hill at the moment, yeah.
Okay, so how far will that go?
Usually about a 5 kilometre radius.
Okay, yeah. So these are what you call low power.
Correct.
Maybe I can ask you and Robbie, is there ever a day where we would get a high-powered frequency like 2GB or... I reckon it would be fantastic.
If we have enough support from donations and our license becomes available, for sure.
Do they become available, high-powered?
Every now and then, yes, they are.
Oh, you'd be up for millions, I suppose.
In a big city, yeah, a couple of million.
A couple of million?
Yep.
That doesn't seem too far out for me.
Nice.
That's from a bloke who's got no money. But I actually believe that when we're doing God's work like this, and that's what Faith FM is about, it's doing God's work, I reckon there's no reason why we can't go right around Australia. Why not?
Definitely. And I do believe that God has his people out there who are willing to support a ministry like this. And, we're definitely reaching thousands of people around Australia every single day with the gospel.
Now, just the last question. We have a Faith FM station where Hunty and I have our studio. No, it's not at our studio. I don't even know where it is.
It's up the hill
from
us.
We can hear it.
Yep.
Sometimes it gets a bit crackly. If you're listening to us today and you're just getting Faith FM and it's going in and out, what advice would you give? Is there another way that we can pick up on our car radio, say, for example, Faith FM?
You could download the Faith FM app and connect your Bluetooth to your car, and you can listen to us that way, and you won't lose signal.
So the last time I came from Sydney to Brisbane, not the last time, I had Hunty with me this time, he just talks, man, like a... Do you believe that? He just talks and talks and talks.
Well, you'd be happy I didn't sleep like you did yesterday.
Yeah, well, I didn't sleep last night, so that's not a bad thing. I went from Brisbane to Sydney. And, you know, the Faith FM, sometimes you get it, sometimes you don't. I got the app. I put it on my app. I put it through my car radio. Fantastic.
Yep.
So in some ways, the app is still the best way to listen to Faith FM. Is that right, Mark?
In some way, yes. Yes.
Yeah. Well, you're doing a fantastic job. Good to meet you.
Likewise.
You're living up in the beautiful... you get as close to heaven as you can get up here in Queensland. Notice
like
all
that.
These Faith FM heavies, Hunty.
Yes.
They get to live here in Queensland.
Yes.
But us guys at the bottom of the
bottom
pile,
of the food chain. Yes.
We're down in Sydney.
That's it.
Living it up. Living the hard life. Yes, anyway. Well, thank you, Marco.
Thank you very much.
And maybe, you know, I think it's a good thing. We do this. Maybe, Robbie, say a prayer for Marco, mate, and ask the Lord to continue to bless Faith FM as it advances and gets stronger and bigger around Australia. Would you do that, mate?
Yeah, let's do it.
Yep.
Yeah, Father in heaven, thank you for just the blessing of being able to speak to the hearts and minds of Australia. And we're thankful for the work that Marco's doing, and we pray you continue to bless and guide as he looks for opportunities to expand the reach of the messages that are positively different as they impact around Australia. We pray this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
You're listening to the Aussie Pastor here on Faith FM.
Alrighty, I think that's enough talking for a bit. I think it's time for a song. So... this one is a beautiful quartet, maybe more than a quartet, by some Africans who are good friends of ours. This song is entitled Have a Little Talk with Jesus, and it's by the Jehovah Shalom A Cappella Group.
I once was lost in sin, but Jesus took me in. And then a little light from heaven filled my soul. It bent my heart in love and wrote my name above. And just a little talk with Jesus makes me whole.
Now let us
have a little talk with Jesus.
Let us
tell him all about our troubles.
He will
hear. He laughs and just cries. Answer by and
by.
Feel a little prayer will turn
you will know
little fires burning. Find a little talk with Jesus makes it right.
I may have doubts and fears, my eyes be filled with tears, but Jesus is a friend who watches day and night. I go to him and pray. He
knows my every care. And just a little talk with Jesus makes it right. Have a little talk with Jesus. Tell him all about our troubles.
He will
hear our faintest cry.
He will answer
by and by. Feel a little prayer will turn you in. Know a little fire is burning. Find a little talk with Jesus makes it right. Find a little talk with Jesus makes it right.
Jesus.
Find a little talk with Jesus,
Mexico. Just a little talk with him
must
be
alright. Find a little talk with Jesus, Mexico. 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 Find a little talk with Jesus, Mexico.
Find a little talk.
Find a little talk with Jesus.
Today, Hunty.
Okay, how quick can you be?
I want time for Bible study today. That's why we're here. We've got these five big questions.
Yep.
And I want to get through this first question today.
Okay.
And there's been a few unexpected things, but I really enjoyed talking with Marco about what's happening with Faith FM. On the other shows, are you guys talking about this, telling people out there what's going on?
It's hard to get Marco on those other shows, so you guys had an exclusive today.
It was.
And he didn't really sell the big picture, but it was a big miracle to get into Brisbane. Big miracle.
Well, give us a big picture real fast. You know what? I take time for this on our show because I think it's really valuable to see how God is advancing his cause through Faith FM. I just want to say this. Hunty and I are television boys, you know, and social media, etc. Since we've been involved with Faith FM, I find it the most exciting, powerful medium to get to secular Aussies that we have in Australia, in the church, and I don't mind saying in the church, to our Aussie brethren, our Aussie brothers and sisters out there, it's the best. So it's very powerful. Tell us quickly the exciting.
So for Faith FM is 16 years old this year.
Yep.
And the first eight of that was like four or five sites. So it's very
amazing,
small, right?
Amazing.
So it's exploded in probably the last 8 years.
Do you see God in that?
Oh, 100%, 100%.
You see your miracles.
And this is the point, right? So we were struggling to get into Sydney and Brisbane. They're two capitals that have just been so hard to get into. And then I think 2.5 years ago, Sydney came up and we got into Sydney, at least Western Sydney.
That was a miracle we got that.
That was a massive miracle. And then finally this year, Brisbane's come online. We've got four sites now around Brisbane. That is, if we get another three more, we'll have most of CBD and Greater Brisbane covered with Faith FM, which is like, this time 4 years ago when I started this role, it was impossible.
Well, you were saying you'd come up here and you'd do programs about how to run radio, etc., the people who might be interested.
Yes.
Because Faith FM is a kind of a grounds-up radio. It's not run by a couple of people.
Yeah, we're decentralised.
Very much so, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, even now, as we've got this show right now, there are other places who are choosing to do their own local shows, which they can do on Faith FM. Am I right? Or?
Well, we're still national. This is national and this is live. So,
is this across all
the
stations?
This is across all the stations, across all of Australia.
That's we are at 193 stations right
now. That's why I keep telling you to behave, Hunter.
You can't change the spots, bud.
Brisbane...
You know what? I'll just say one other thing. Yeah. Do you know we're in New Zealand as well?
No.
Yay.
Faith FM is live. Like, we're live right now.
Are we talking...
In two parts in New Zealand. Not the whole place.
Where?
There's two. I'll have to find the actual street, but it's south
city?
Of the North Island. It's a small town. It's not like Auckland or anything.
Can I say something to the Kiwis?
Go for it.
I love you New Zealand buddies. My daughter was born in New Zealand, my oldest daughter. I grew up in New Zealand. Did you know that?
Yes.
And I then went back to work in New Zealand. So New Zealand's got a real
special
tug
place
on my heart.
Yep.
We love you.
I married a New Zealand girl.
Did you?
I did.
Okay.
From Auckland.
Have you converted her yet?
Oh, yeah, she loves Queensland. She's a Queenslander.
She cheer for the Wallabies or the All Blacks?
She doesn't know what either of those things
that's
are.
That's a very good thing. That would make the house bearable, because I was about to say, we love you Kiwis, we love you, but those All Blacks, we do not love them. And we're not going to... We've actually got a ban on rugby on this program. So is Brisbane covered more than Sydney?
No, I think Sydney's still got bigger... Because of population. The population's bigger. Like, the footprint's probably getting closer to being the same, but you've got more population in the same... Yeah, it's denser population.
We don't cover Sydney, though, completely, by any stretch.
No, Western. So from Parramatta out.
So yeah. We don't get the CBD
No.
We got plans for that? We got prayers?
We got prayers for that.
Would that be hard? Would that be a miracle?
It'll be another miracle, for sure. Absolutely.
Yeah. And I'm going to ask you the question, because you're the program director for Faith of...
Yep.
Can we ever look at having a high-powered station to...
We... Yes, we've attempted to go to auction for some.
Yep.
There's a couple of places around Australia where the opportunity has come up. We've gone to auction, but we were outbid.
Were we badly outbid?
In the order of millions, yes. But you know what? It's all right, because God's doing amazing things with what we've got, and he'll continue to do so.
I would love to see it.
Yeah.
I really would. I have this dream. I don't know what I should say. There's a radio station in... I'm not going to say the radio station. Okay. It used to be really Big Hunter. You know the one?
I do.
There were two that used to go head-to-head. One bought the other.
Yes.
And kind of took it offline almost. Took the rival offline. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
I would love to get that station. I'll talk to you about it,
mate. Keep praying for it, mate.
Yes.
Okay, New Zealand real quick. It's New Plymouth.
I know New Plymouth.
I've got a broadcast in New Plymouth.
Near Mount Taranaki. Mount Egmont.
A broadcast in Stratford.
Yeah, I know. I know them.
And
Harawa. I know. That's just near... down near where our Longman College is at...
down that way.
Yeah. That's been a while since I've been there.
Yeah, so those three locations, we were approached by some New Zealanders who had heard Faith of M in Australia. They love what we're doing and said, hey, we got a license in New Zealand. Can we air your content over here? And we're like, sure. So we sent our boxes over, and they're broadcasting what you're hearing now in Australia, they're hearing in New Zealand.
So are you planning to get some Kiwi local stuff eventually?
We have. They've got some stuff that they're airing locally just in their area, but they still get all our live programs from Australia.
I think that is fantastic. I didn't know that. Yeah. That warms my heart. It'll help me to suffer the indignity of what the All Blacks are about to do to the Wallabies again.
Nice.
Okay, look, let's just do a couple of these news and then we'll move on, because I want to do the Bible study today.
Yep.
Elon Musk.
I like Elon Musk. What a great man.
He called our Albo a fascist.
Well, I googled that. It says ultra-nationalist political ideology movement created by a dictatorial leader, centralised autocracy. Well,
Hunter, you just lost me.
Well, basically, a fascist is someone who's a dictator. I don't think Albo's a dictator.
So your mate Elon Musk is out of...
Let me say this. He's had more positions on free speech than I've had Tim Tams.
Well, if you know Hunty and Tim Tams, we did a mission in Coffs Harbour and outreach the other day, Robbie.
Yeah.
They gave us a little gift at the end of it. Beautiful. In fact, we've got it on our bed right now, Duna cover.
Okay.
I don't know what he got. But on top of the Duna cover was a two boxes, one box each, of Tim Tams.
I only got mint slices.
Mint slices. Well, you like them even better.
I love them too.
Hunty had inhaled the entire...
Inhaled.
Yes.
Before
I got to the outskirts of Coffs.
And if you know where we were, the venue is on the outskirts of Coffs. This is actually a free speech issue, and that's why I put it in here, Robbie. Because you've got Albo saying on Elon Musk's Twitter, or I think it's called X now.
Yeah, X.
Are we on Twitter, X?
We are.
We don't put anything on it.
We don't put much up.
We better start working, mate.
Yeah.
Albo's saying there's certain things on Twitter you can't put on, and he's legislating it. And Elon Musk is going off like you'd say a frog in a sock.
That's it.
Who's in the right here?
Well, I'm all for free speech. I don't know what he's trying to ban, sorry.
He's trying to ban some pretty awful stuff.
Okay.
Albo is.
Okay.
I think one of them, someone was murdered somewhere and it was put up online.
Oh, yeah, that's right. The pictures of the murder online, yeah.
Well, it's actually video.
Yeah.
And they tried to ban it here in Australia.
Yeah.
And
it was the same with that stabbing of that Orthodox priest as well.
I think that was the one.
Yeah, they tried to ban that and Elon Musk was like...
No, you're not going to do it.
No. This is the problem, right? Like, in Australia, we have a different view of what Western democracy looks like to what the American Western democracy, like in the purest sense, looks like. And in many, many positions, I align more with the American view than I do with the Australian view.
So do I, mate.
So it's
and I'll tell you why in a second, but yeah.
But it's
difficult. Why do you align more with the American view?
Well, here's the thing. The American view in the fundamentalist, and that sounds bad, but like in the authentic American experiment documentation, yes. right, yep. the starting of it, the whole principle is that small government and your rights end where my nose begins, right? So whatever you can do whatever you want, believe whatever you
say
want.
What you want.
Say what you want, do what you want, practice what you want, as long as it doesn't impact on someone else's rights, you're free to do it.
Can I add a dichotomy here? I'm all for free speech, 100%, say what you like. But here's something you can't do. You can't say fire and ring an alarm in a theatre where people run out and trample each other to death. You can't make up and say, hey, there's a fire when there's not.
I don't think the American experiment says that.
Well,
I think it's more fundamental than that. I think it's the right of you to say what you want. Long as it's not harming somebody else.
That's the gist of it. But then here in Australia, in our Western version of it, we have this idea of like, yes, but we don't want you to feel hurt. We don't want you to feel pain. But the problem with that, this is the fundamental problem with it, is that who becomes the arbitrator of truth?
That's what I don't like.
That's the part I don't like. Yeah.
That's what I don't like. I don't like the fact that the government sets itself up as the ones who decide what is correct to say and what isn't.
Yeah.
And I think that's very dangerous. And so I think here Elon might... I wouldn't call Albo a fascist.
No. And I think I read he's doubled down on that statement too.
He's not taken a backward step.
Yeah.
But I don't like this drift I see in Australia of our government starting to tell us, and it's coming out on some of the laws on conversion.
Yeah.
As well, where there are certain people with certain weaknesses or sins, as the Bible defines it, that the Christian church is no longer allowed to even talk to, literally.
Yeah.
I don't like that.
Yeah. Well, you know what happened in Australia, in Queensland, Australia.
Yeah.
It might as well be Australia up here. But you know what happened in Queensland last week,
state,
right? Like there's legislation that passed here in Queensland that it's a workplace like act that basically means that in your workplaces you can't refer to the Bible for any reasons of like setting this is our belief system, and if it causes offense to somebody, then it's now against the law.
Wow.
And so the arbitrator of now what is right and wrong in the workplace based on the Bible or any religious text for that matter becomes the jurisdiction now of the Human Rights Commission of Queensland.
Like I do not like
so
that.
So when you start outsourcing who's the referee on right and wrong, that's when we've got a problem.
My question is, who makes the human rights...
It's unelected.
Yeah, and who That's makes the them the adjudicator? Why are they the adjudicator?
Because they've got a good title.
but it is, and I think that's where Elon Musk is really, you know, clamping down.
He does shoot from the hip, though. He kind of thinks he speaks before he thinks a little bit sometimes, too.
Yeah, but he can afford to when you're a billionaire, I suppose.
Yeah,
he's got an IQ plus over 160. The guy's no fool.
Yeah.
He is actually...
Well, he's upset Brazil.
Yeah, they've tossed him out, and I don't think he cares.
But the funny thing is, I was reading that he's controlling the Starlink system, is controlling most of the internet in Brazil. So he's like, all right, get rid of Twitter, we'll get rid of the internet.
Yeah. And is he following through on that?
I haven't seen anything lately on it.
It's interesting when you look at Elon Musk, how he even controls the Ukraine-Russian war.
Yeah.
You know, it's his internet that keeps Ukraine alive.
Yep.
Without that, they'd be in real trouble. Well, I think that's enough for news today.
I was thinking that too, mate.
Yeah, so let's have a little thing.
You're listening to the Aussie Pastor here on Faith FM.
Alrighty, let's have some music. What have I got next? I got Bill and Gloria Gaither, and it's featuring Mylon LeVeuve, and the song's entitled Without Him.
You can turn him away.
That's a nice song.
That's beautiful. So I reckon we throw this run sheet in the bin right about now. And what do you reckon? Let me go straight to Bible study.
It is. It's hard because I'm seeing all my mates here and I want to talk to them, but we're on radio.
We're live.
it's a bit surreal when you come from here and all your friends. See, I those two guys that just talking to me then and why I was a bit late coming back on the radio.
Yep.
They were two of my youth when I was on the Sunshine Coast.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, of course, then I've got kids that are almost growing up, so it's all a bit scary, you know. I was actually... The interesting thing, Robbie, I was the last one picked up in my theology class. In fact, the head of the theology department told me I will never be a pastor. And I remember saying to him, God rest his soul, because he's not here now, he's passed on.
Yeah.
I remember saying to him, well, you're not God. And I left. But I probably came scholastically last in the class because I was mucking around having a good time.
Yeah.
I was the last one to... be picked up, and the interesting thing is I'm actually one of the last to still be in ministry after 34 years, because it's, how many years are you now?
18, or 9, is it 18 or 19?
You're about half where I've been, but even, you've been in it long enough now to know that it's a long haul, isn't it, when you're...
It's a marathon.
When you're a pastor for life, it's a long, long haul. Hey, I want to talk to you about, did God create the earth, Robbie? And I want to start off in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. We don't even have to look that up, Hunty. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, before we get into this Bible study, because we've been mucking around a bit today and having a bit of fun and learning some stuff about Faith FM, etc., I'd like to say a prayer, get Hunty to pray again before we get into this. So, Hunty, if you can pray, but we're going to be talking, did God create the earth? Is it reasonable to believe that in secular Australia with our higher education system? Is it reasonable to believe that, or is it just a myth? Genesis 1 verse 1 again, in the beginning, the Bible claims, God created the heavens and the earth. Thank you, Hunty.
Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, this subject is a huge one, and I pray that you'll give all of our listeners your love. Sit with their hearts as they hear this information, Lord, as they are exposed to these amazing Bible truths. Lord, please bless Robbie and Lloyd as they open your Bible now in your precious name, please, Jesus. Amen.
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 So, Robbie.
Hey.
Did God... I'm going to ask you two questions to start this discussion.
Let's do it.
Did God create the earth? And is it reasonable to believe that?
All right. So, I'm going to say yes to both of those. And I'm saying that from the point of view of someone who didn't believe that and now does believe it.
So, I want to go there first.
Yeah.
Tell us where you came from. I'm not asking for your full testimony.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
But you were not a believer. You're an atheist.
Yes.
Just tell us what you used to believe.
So that people can understand
the journey you've been on.
So the short version is that through high school and university, I didn't necessarily not, like, I wasn't atheist in that I hate the idea of God or anything like that. It was just the absence of God in my life, right? Like a typical secular family growing up. Then when I went into last year of high school, beginning of university, I went into the sciences, so I did civil engineering, computer science, architecture, all that stuff. And I remember sitting in a class, and I had a classmate, and the discussion was in science, was about biology, and it was about clouds, and it was a whole bunch of human sciences, right, and natural sciences. And the lecturer made this comment, and I still remember like it was yesterday. He said, and here's a question for all you God fearing people out there, like speaking to the students.
Yeah.
He said, where do clouds come from? And there was a kid in my class, or a guy in my class, he was of a particular Christian persuasion, and he threw his hand up, he said, God created the clouds. Like with such boldness and confidence, right? And I was sitting there looking, I think...
Actually, that is incredible in a world that we live in, isn't it?
Yeah.
To do that.
Yeah. Anyway, so the short version is the lecturer tore shreds off him. Of how ridiculous it was for him to say that and blah, 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 blah. And I remember thinking there and then I'm thinking, yeah, that's just foolishness to think that God, you know, the guy up in the sky created all these things. And so that was sort of the turning point where I became not just God was irrelevant to me to now, no, I have this pet belief that, no, God has no place in this story.
Were you militant about that?
I became more and more militant as university went on, yeah, for sure. And by the end of my second degree, I was a staunch atheist, and I would do my best to debunk anything anybody wanted to talk about it. So I sort of started off pretty mellow in high school but became pretty militant by the end of it.
Would it be fair to say that most of the education systems in Australia, certainly post-school, undergraduate and postgraduate, lead you to that position that you took? Was it the education system that took you there, or was it just a part of your maturing and where you're at?
For me, it was probably both. But I'd say, like, this was going back, you know, nearly 30-something years ago now, but looking at it, how far we've come, the higher, like the tertiary education is definitely geared against any space for a theological point of view in discussion. Like it's really not even tolerated in a lot of our institutions here in Australia.
So when that young fella,
yeah,
makes that statement, you say he had shreds torn off him.
Yeah.
That would be the response for most people who try to claim.
Yeah,
faith.
I don't even think they'd even try to ask those questions these days in university settings. Like it doesn't even get a conversation. This was still going back, you know, late early 90s, when it was still like there was still religious education in public school back then, and like those sorts of things have changed tremendously.
So out there right now, if you have a belief in Australia, we're talking to Australians. I know we've got Kiwis on board; they're probably similar.
Yeah,
ilk. If you were to claim that God created the world, you'd be just derided, mocked.
Yeah,
literally run out of town.
Yeah, yeah. I hear these stories all the time from current students. And the ironic thing is that, you know, there's this whole mantra amongst the postgraduate sort of studies or even undergraduate studies, yep, that, you know, we're so tolerant and we're so inclusive and all that. But the minute it turns to anything religious, tolerance is out the window. Like, there's no tolerance for it.
It's almost a hostility, isn't it?
It's very
hostile.
Too far? No, I'd say hostility is probably a pretty average word to describe some of the situations. Like, I've got people that have talked to me who are in various universities around this country who are, you know, students, and they're students with faith, and they feel like they've got to keep their identity under wraps in order to make sure they get a good grade.
I'm going to come back to you in a second, because I want to go there, how you transition from that sort of place to where you are now. But is it impossible to be a professor, a lecturer in university in Australia and hold a position that God created the world openly?
I can't speak on behalf of all.
Yeah, I'm just wondering.
Education.
Generally, though.
But I know of some Christian professors that are teaching in some of the sciences. And, you know, I know some that are very vocal in their place, here in Australia, but they do get hostility with their faculty members, as you can imagine.
I would imagine it would impact their careers.
And there are some that keep it quiet because of that exact reason. So, yeah, I mean, it's probably hard to have a blanket answer to a national problem, but yeah, it's definitely a thing. It's not fairy tales. It's not like, oh, you know, there's no such thing as religious persecution or intolerance, for sure.
So you're immersed as an undergraduate and maybe postgraduate too, I'm not sure. But
I did all my undergraduate, except for one, was all science-based.
So you've become a hardline atheist.
Yeah, I was, yes.
Evolutionist?
Yeah, evolutionist, for sure, 100%.
I know we don't have a lot of time because we might end up doing this over 2 days. Who knows?
What did I say this morning when you showed me all the questions?
Oh, you said,
I
Robbie.
I said, I'll last you and Robbie a year.
Well, these sorts of subjects are no good if we don't bring in...
And they're important.
Yeah, Robbie's personal journey, because it's a lot different than yours or mine, Hunty. We grew up in Christian homes where this was always... Mm-hmm. It was almost the other way around to say that God did not create the world. You'd be on the other side because we're in an enclosed environment.
And right. The people we're reaching to have got Robbie's journey.
Yeah, people who are listening. And I, to this day, Hunty and I talk about this. Hunty actually specialises a bit in this area. I am flabbergasted that people could even imagine for a moment that God didn't create the world. That's the world I lived in.
Yeah.
So I want to go back to your world. What happened?
Well, it's easier now that I believe in creation instead of evolution to look back at evolution and go, how could I have believed that? But when you're on the other side of the fence, it's like, it's the only thing that makes sense. But here's the thing that I found interesting. When you like, I was in the probably the second phase of the textbooks
yep.
that sort of transitioned into the evolutionary teaching in sciences, right? Because I remember the first one, there was a big hoo-ha with the parent-teacher nights and things like that. But then the second sort of iteration of the science books, it was still called the theory of evolution, but it was very much presented as fact.
As science.
Yeah, as science.
Is it still called the theory of evolution?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure if they still use that theory part in the description of in the textbooks that I haven't seen a textbook in years in science. But yeah, I remember very clearly it would say theory of evolution, but it was always presented as, well, no, this is what we now know. Mm. And it was always presented in the context in school and in uni as, this is what they used to believe. You know, like they used to have this fear that if they didn't go and appease the gods, that the harvest wouldn't happen. But now we understand weather patterns, you know? Mm. And it was always placed as that, like, we've evolved literally in our understanding and our scientific instruments and our way to measure and all that sort of stuff. And so when you're an impressionable, you know, first-year undergraduate and you're looking to impress your lecturers and professors and get good grades and, you know, you take it on board and you parrot back what you've been told to parrot back and you write your essays and, so it's that's how education is, right? It's basically indoctrination.
Yeah.
I have discussions on Facebook with people who wish to argue, you know, science versus God. And they say things like, follow the science. And they say to me, Hunty, can't you see this? It's science. And I say, well, hang on a minute. Just take the dinosaurs, for example. You guys say they're extinct 200 million years ago by some sort of asteroid, but now we've found dinosaur footprints on top of human footprints. We've now got dinosaur DNA.
Follow the science, eh?
Yeah, so follow the science. Where's the science in that? So anyway, my point is, they say it's science, but really it is only a theory.
Like, we can jump...
Don't ever say ever.
Oh,
that we're taking people down rabbit holes.
Oh,
did you see that?
Did I just open one up?
You took a right turn and straight down a rabbit hole.
Forgive me, oh great gods of radio.
You know, the thing is, like, we'll jump around back and forth in this conversation, I'm sure. But they say, like, you don't know you're deceived until you're undeceived.
Oh, yeah.
So once I was undeceived, I guess I would say, in terms or enlightened to the evolutional arguments, what I found fascinating is realizing that. So in science, the fundamental foundation to science is the experiment, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And you have to be able to
which
do
is it. Fair enough.
100%. Look, as a Christian, I'm all for a scientific process, 100%.
Yeah.
But the key of scientific experiment is repeating something multiple times and getting the same outcome, right? Mm-hmm. So if you can observe something, repeat it, the steps, see the same outcome, then you know you're getting to fact, right?
And even that's open to question, isn't it? Even after repeated, it's still open to question in science. Everything's always open. Am I right or not?
Yeah. Look, there's definitely that, for sure. But like, look at the basic example, right? And if you do an experiment, you hold a ball, you let go at a height, it's going to drop. Yeah. You know there's a force impacting on it. Yeah. You repeat, you know something's there, right?
Yeah.
Then you measure it and you get your 9.8 or whatever it is for gravity and so on. But here's the thing. So I grew up in a period, I was in the school system during the time of Richard Dawkins being like one of the leading gurus in the space. And it wasn't until years later, after I became a faith follower and a faith experimenter, that I read his book in its entirety. One of his first books was written in 1979 called The Selfish Gene.
Yep.
And I read this book in its entirety, and I think it's page 13 or page 19, somewhere around there. He makes this statement, and I never saw this in any textbook. And this is what he says, 1979, right? Before I was even in school.
Yep.
He writes, "The account I shall give on the origin of life shall be of necessity speculative." And then he says, "Because by definition, nobody was around to see it happen." And I was like, I read this years later, right? I'm like, now that was a scientific statement. That was a solid statement. He's saying, look, I'm going to give you a speculative theory on the evolution of life or the origin of life, but it's only going to be a theory until we can reproduce it, we can observe it, and we can demonstrate the same outcome.
Yep.
And so the problem is that it's great to have a theory of evolution. You're entitled to do that.
Yeah.
But you can't go switch it as fact while it has not been demonstrable. Now, here's the other argument. On the other side, the creation side, we have the same dilemma. We can say, oh, we believe it was creation, But we weren't there to see it the same way Richard Dawkins wasn't there to see evolution. We can't reproduce it. They can't reproduce it. We can't observe it and demonstrate it three times that you need for a minimum. Mm-hmm. So we're kind of in the same school. So whether you're in the evolutionary school or the creation school, you need the same amount of faith to believe in this thing.
I was going
to
ask you that.
As the opposite side.
Are they both exercises in faith?
100%.
We've not found any fossils to demonstrate the evolutionary process.
Well, but here's the point. So it requires the same amount of faith to believe in either creation or evolution, in my opinion. You can't believe in evolution based on...
Does it require more faith to believe in evolution?
Well, here's the point. The point is the faith has to be based on something. Like, no one just wakes up and goes, oh, well, I believe in great big jelly donuts flowing out of the sky. You can believe what you want, but there has to be some evidence, you know, in air quotes, as to why you believe something, right? And so the question then is not how much faith do you have to believe evolution or creation. The question is, what evidence do you have for your faith? So whether you're on the evolutionary side or on the creation side, what evidence is there for your faith? And so that's probably the course of our conversation.
I know we still haven't got to how you came out of this, but I want to ask you a question just while I'm thinking about it. From my perspective, as a kid who's brought up with this.
And with, you know, creation.
Yeah. Brought up with creation. I never, ever, ever, even though I wandered far from God, I never, ever doubted for a moment that God created the world.
Sure.
Is it unreasonable for me to look at my world as a Christian and I see everything around me created? A designer, an architect, an engineer, the car I drive, created. This building I'm sitting in, created. This microphone I'm using, engineered, created, designed, made. So if I live in this world where that's the paradigm, is it reasonable for me to extend that to the natural world and more than that, then to, in a sense, question, almost to the point where, to my shame, I scoff at the idea of those who would believe in evolution. Do you get my question?
So I,
as a believer, brought up in this, immersed in it, unlike you,
I
get where you're coming from. But I'm looking at it from my perspective. I'm going, this is crazy. Everything, you don't have to believe in God.
Right.
But everything I see is created, engineered, designed, architect. Everything is, has something behind it. And yet we have these incredibly complex organisms and life, and not just that, the environment, the currents that go up and down our continents, keeping the land so that we can live and grow food, and such a fine balance. So if it's out a degree or two, the whole world goes topsy-crazy.
The fine-tuning.
Is it unreasonable for me to, almost like the evolutionists do to me, to look at them and say, well, that's crazy, and almost, and to my shame, but I see Christians doing, scoffing at those who are evolutionists because of the fact that all this around me attests, as I can see, to create, or am I missing something?
No. Look, and I think that's where I started to change. So the short version is a episode of my show, The Faith Experiment.
Where would they find The Faith Experiment?
Just go to faithofm.com.au and look up Faith Experiment. But I think it's around episode 4 or 5, somewhere around there, where I talk about this moment. But basically what happened was, I was reading the Bible. I read the Quran, I read the Bible, I read these religious texts because I wanted to understand what was happening in the world post September 11. Long story short, when you can't go past, my first part of the Bible I read was Revelation, right? And when you get to chapter 4, there's a verse in verse 11 where it says that all of the world, or all the universe, acknowledges that God is the creator of all things. So I remember reading that, I'm thinking, it wasn't foreign to me that there was a belief that God created everything. That wasn't foreign. But it made me think that this is in this last book, this end of the world book. It makes this point about God being the creator, and that's why he receives worship in Revelation 4, I think it's verse 11. Mm-hmm. And so I remember reading that, and I was catching the train home from South Bank down to, this is in Brisbane, down to the Gold Coast. And as I was on the train, I was looking out the window, and there were trees, like these great big, I think like oak trees or something. And I was looking at the leaves just going by, and it was like the sun was shining through them.
Yeah.
And I thought to myself, and I was a computer programmer, right? And as a programmer, you write code to do things. And I have never once in all my life as a programmer come into work one day and all of a sudden all the letters just jumbled around and arranged themselves on my screen to be a functional program. It's never happened.
That's
right?
What I look at.
Yep. So I'm looking at these trees and then all of a sudden it hits me. The fact that there's a tree with that shape compared to that tree with that shape and that tree with that shape, in my programming mind was like, well, that's like me having a class of code sitting here, a function of code sitting there. The chances of that ever appearing by itself was impossible. And so then I start thinking of these trees. And then it was like, oh, look, I can see there's the moon, you know, in the daytime, you can see the moon being reflected. And it's like, well, then how did that get there? And then what I started to see is everywhere you look, it's like the blinkers were taken off your eyes or the scales were removed from your eyes. And all of a sudden, everything you look at, you're like, what you just said before, right? The microphone stand you're looking at now. We look at that and go, well, someone designed that. What brand was it? We look at the monitor here. We look at the computer. We assume, rightly, that everything that we look at has some design behind it and some manufacturing process behind it, because we know that you don't just walk into the bush in outback Australia and pick up an iPhone, yeah, right? It doesn't happen.
Yeah.
True.
And so we've got to this point as humans, we're like, yeah, we understand all that. But then all of a sudden we want to switch off and go,
it's like
there's
a disconnect.
Yeah, we want to switch that part of the brain off and go, yeah, but everything else just came in by chance and happened. And as a person who was a proponent of this evolutionary idea, it started to feel very, like, illogical. And I was a very logical person. I'm like, but wait a minute. How come in every other thing we've ever dealt with as humans, that we can see the design, we know there's a designer, but then when it comes to something so complex as the human cells that make up the eye, all of a sudden now we go, oh, no, that was completely random. By evolutionary randomness. Yeah. And so, yeah, so 100%. In fact, I got a little thing that you remember back in the day, there was a famous ad. It was football, meat pies, kangaroos, and home cars, right?
Yeah.
If you think terrible about ad. That, right? You think about that ad. We already know that for football, there has to be organization and design for who plays where and all that stuff, right?
Yep. Yeah.
When you think about meat pies, if you have too much mince and not enough gravy, the thing's horrible. Yeah. If you have too thick a pastry and not enough gravy, then it's horrible.
Mm-hmm.
If the salt's, you know, it's got to be perfect. Yeah, otherwise, it's not a meat pie. That's a horrible pie, right?
Yeah.
You think about the kangaroo. It couldn't function in any other part of the world the way it does here.
Yeah.
Then you think of Holden cars. They're still holding together, right? But the thing with the car is that clearly someone designed the thing, right? So you're sitting here as an Australian in our secularness. That's not a word, but you get what I mean.
I like it.
And
I like making up words.
And you think about all of this, the things that make Australia and what's Aussie, but every one of them has a designer behind it, right? Yeah. But then all of a sudden we want to switch off that part of our brain and go, yeah, but the rest of it all happened by chance, you know?
Why the disconnect? Because, you know, you're talking about the tree. I can't help but think, because I got a farm.
Yeah.
I got a lot of trees on that farm. Do you know how much, I think it's through photosynthesis.
Yes.
Do you know how much water a tree sucks up a day?
I don't know the quantity,
Liters.
Thousands of liters across the trees on my property. It's a silent pump.
Mm.
You can't get a silent pump that's going to pump water from deep in the ground up to the top of a tree, which could be 30 metres, 20 metres above the ground.
That's 30 metres ahead in the pumping world.
But do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. Why the disconnect? No, we're not winding.
I want a song. No, I want to break in a song.
Don't
want
to have a song yet.
Are you still the boss?
Yeah.
Oh.
Why the disconnect? So you started to think, is that what brought you across? So you started to think, you start to come across. Do you want to finish that story or do you want to go to why the disconnect?
It's kind of connected, I guess. For me, until you recognize that God is some kind of creator, there is no need for God. Like in your mind as an atheist,
yep,
as an evolutionist, they both basically go hand in hand. Because you don't want God in the equation, you need an explanation that doesn't involve God for the origin.
Yep.
And so when the God of the origin comes back into the possibility, then that creates the possibility now of God. They're kind of closely tied to each other.
Okay, I'm with you.
So as I'm sitting here, I'm introduced to this idea. And again, I wasn't reading the Bible to become a converted follower of it. I was trying to read to see what those Americans were going to do to self-fulfill prophecy or something. Okay. Those crazy evangelical Christians after September 11th.
We're actually going to talk about that later this week.
Oh, are we? Yeah, okay. We are. I don't know what we're talking about. I'm looking forward to it. But here's the point. When you see that verse in the Bible that all of creation recognizes God as the creator, you go, huh. When you look at the things around you, how do we explain the complexity, and not just the complexity, but the instantaneousness of some systems, right? For example, one of the things that did my head in was giraffes.
Yeah.
Like a giraffe could never have evolved.
No.
Because the brain, because obviously a giraffe's got a big long neck, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And when the giraffe puts its head down to drink, the blood coming from the heart, which is in the torso, yeah, yeah, going pumping down the neck, would shoot the brain basically and kill it.
It explode.
And so there's a sponge, basically a blood sponge at the bottom of the brain, so that when it puts the head down, the blood sort of gets absorbed into this sponge, allowing it to be okay.
And then
when it lifts its head up, the thing would pass out because it had a head rush. You stand up too fast, you fall down faint.
Yeah.
But because it's got this sponge of blood under its brain, it just slowly releases it. So here's the point. In an evolutionary sense, that giraffe can't exist,
yeah,
because it would have to have that all those pieces together. The first giraffe,
almost impossible to develop.
That's right, because
it'd be dying. You would try to develop it.
Yeah, you would die the first time. Then you go, okay, well, how do you develop, evolve to the next generation of giraffe? And so there's, and that's just one example. You can go through the natural world. You can go through the biological world. You can go through the cosmic world. All of these things had to exist at the exact same moment for it to exist. Otherwise, it would never have any information to pass on. And this is the other fundamental problem with it, is that evolution is based on the assumption that information is increasing as you go through in time. Mm. But everything we know about science and mutation is its information is lost over time. It's never added
which
to.
Which is why we die.
Which is why everything deteriorates and dies.
Yeah.
And so when you start actually pondering those thoughts and those questions, you start going, well, everything in the world's telling me that there is something behind everything that we know. So why wouldn't that follow through to a cosmic sort of designer, a creative designer? And then you realize, oh, but if there is a God, now I have a relationship with a God that's a creator.
And there could be an accounting.
And then there's a whole... Yeah. So your question was, well, why is there a disconnect? Because it brings a sense of comfort, and I put that in air quotes, but you can have comfort if you can remove God from your life and you create an alternative narrative for how things came into existence, then you can sort of appease the conscience, the guilt, the shame.
But these are some of our brightest minds. Are you saying that in the deep dark of the night, when there's no one around, and you're not sleeping, and you're thinking, that men and women with these prodigious minds are not trying to deal with these questions? They're not being confronted by them? Have we developed to such a place as human beings where we can really, in the age of reason, put these things... I mean, the more I look at nature, the more I'm blown away.
Yeah.
Colostrum.
Yeah.
Come on, in mammals, when a mother first gives the milk to the baby, whether it's a lion or a human being, that colostrum full of antibodies and richness and... have we reached a point where we can seriously just put that aside? It's not even an option. The idea of it, I'm not talking God now, just the idea of a designer, an architect of all this. Yeah. Have we reached that place, seriously?
There's some... They don't even call themselves Christian scientists. They'll call them intelligent design scientists.
Yeah.
And like, they don't even claim to be Christian.
Yeah.
But they have reached that point. So they've been on one side of the fence, and now they're on this side of the fence where they're like, no matter how you slice and dice this, the probability of this stuff having no design behind it is improbable. And so there's some books that they use expressions like, it's an uncomfortable question in scientific community. And so it's almost like the ostrich. You put your head in the sand and just keep moving on.
Is there any movement in science? And I'm talking about lecturers, professors.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And again, not necessarily coming out as Christian, but just saying, listen, if we're going to be true to the art of science, we need to ask the questions. As uncomfortable as those questions feel for a person who doesn't want there to be a God, doesn't believe there's a God, there has to be some uncomfortable questions to be asked.
I get a sense, and you might correct me because you might know more on this, but I watch him pretty carefully myself. I get a sense that Dawkins himself is starting to ask questions.
You know, I was going to mention that, but then you did, so that's fine. I was actually whether or not I should.
Yeah.
I watched him in an interview as recent as last week.
Yeah.
And it's not the same Richard Dawkins that I remember from 20 years ago.
Oh,
there's something. There's something changing there. And you know, one of the things you asked before, like, you know, are they laying in bed thinking about this? I'll say this. You know, obviously, you can't read people's minds, right?
No,
but
no.
I'll say this. Based on the history of people's in that sort of camp, I've read a lot of the dying words and testimony like that. And it seems that a lot of them, and I don't want to misquote people, it seems that a lot of people wrestle with this question when it comes time to face the final reality of life.
I said that we're going to have some music, but I've got to ask this one question on this, one more. Do you think there's an instinct created in all of us, I'm talking now as a creationist,
yes,
that drives us to a conclusion or to some sort of conviction at some stage or another in our life that there is an architect, there is a designer?
I think the fact that we're very family orientated as a species proves that, right? So, like, as a child, you're naturally connecting to the one before you, which was your parents.
Yeah,
your parents brought you into existence. They provided for you. They created context. They give you narrative, purpose, and meaning.
Yeah.
And then you look to them. They look to their parents, and they tell the stories. Like, look at every civilization on human history. They are tied to their stories of ancestry, even here in this country
they
with
are.
Indigenous Australians.
Yeah.
And so the question is, if you keep that story going back and back and back and back and back and back, at some point, it either is going to completely end with a goldfish or it's going to end with something, someone else. Now, if you look at the biblical account in the Gospel of Luke, in chapter 3, it starts with Jesus. He goes back, because he's looking at Jesus' life.
Yeah, yeah.
He goes back to this is his genealogy. This is genealogy. And guess where it ends? It ends with Adam.
Yeah.
And then Adam is the son of God. And so the question is, because we're so social, if you follow the line back, at some point, you're probably going to run into God.
Interesting point, isn't it? Even a lot of the pagan cultures end up at God.
Yes.
As they go back, they end up, they might call him something different.
Yep.
Hey, we better have a music.
Hunty's getting really anxious there.
He is.
You're listening to the Aussie Pastor here on Faith FM.
Alrighty, listeners, if you're still with us and you've been enjoying this awesome discussion, let me give you a little break with a wonderful song. And it's by Philippa Hannon. It's called You're Still God.
When all foundations have been shaken, when I'm left standing in the dark, and all I feel is my heart breaking, you're still reigning and you're still God. Is fading, the heavy questions hit so hard, and though my soul may feel forsaken, you still reign and you're still God. Though I can't see what's before, trust your heart, and this one truth will be my story. You still reign and you're still God. I will declare that you are with me, though voices whisper that you're. Still will, you still reign and you're still God. victory of your cross and fix my eyes upon you, Jesus.
Did you choose that song?
I actually did, but I chose it from your previously chosen list.
Oh, he's covering himself.
Giving myself some insurance there.
Do you remember when you sacked him from...
Yeah, here we go.
Robbie? Was it you that sacked him, or
yes,
was it...
Well, I got sacked from above.
We had conversations.
I enjoyed it too. Did you know that?
I've heard this for the last 3 years.
Regularly.
I know, right?
This is a good conversation. And it's a good conversation because it's one that... I think it's really relevant to almost every Australian out there.
And
at some stage or another, we ask these questions. So I want to read you a passage of Scripture.
Yep.
I want you to tell me what you think.
Let's do it.
And I want the Aussies listening to us, because there's plenty out there who are probably on the other side of the argument here. I wonder what they think too. Hey, by the way, just while you're thinking about it, are we offering anything at the end of this?
I've got an offer. Have you got an offer?
We never have an offer.
Okay, I've got an offer.
That's something we really have to clean this program up.
Okay,
with.
I've got an offer for anybody listening anywhere in Australia.
All right, let me give the number first.
Yes, give the number.
Write this down, listeners. 0488 880 851, or you can email us, theaussiepastor@gmail.com, but get the number, 0488 880 851. And, Robbie, what have we got?
Do you know why you did that? I know why you did that.
Still from your number.
Because you hate the way I say the number.
Oh, yeah.
You would lie down. Me too. He thinks he's the guru when it comes to doing this.
Okay. So
433.
Give it to us again, then, one
anyway,
more time.
Here's what you got to do. Just listen to a second when we get the number. Here's what you gotta do. Take out your phone right now and you text the word creation, because we're talking about creation and evolution, right? Text the word creation to
0488 880 851.
And if that was too fast, go to faithfm.com.au and look for the show number for Aussie Pastor, and you'll get the way we say
it. Say it again slowly. 0488 880 851.
That means a big deal, because it's taken him 3 years to learn that number.
I still haven't learned it. I'm reading it.
So text the word creation to that. Our SMS bot will ask you for your address and details, and then we will get out this fantastic book. It's called Creation and Evolution. And it will lay out some of the arguments. It's a very easy reader. Don't have to be a scientific person to read it.
And 100% for free.
100% for free. Just text the code word creation to the show number, and we will get that out to you next.
We're going
to
give that book out tomorrow too, eh? Like, this is a 2-day giveaway.
Yeah, we can do that.
Oh, have you got another one tomorrow?
I don't know. We're talking about tomorrow.
This one. We're not going.
Okay.
I haven't run you through this yet.
I may or may not have another one for you tomorrow, but we'll see what happens.
Romans 1.
Romans 1, yes.
Verse 18.
Let me have a look.
Is this reasonable from Paul, or is he being entirely unreasonable? But God shows his anger from heaven against all sinful wicked people who suppress the truth by their wickedness. Okay, now watch this. They know the truth about God because he has made it obvious to them. For ever since the world was created, people have seen the earth and sky. Through everything God made, they can clearly see his invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature. So they have no excuse for not knowing God. What's that text say first, Robbie.
Mm.
And I want you to comment whether you think that is reasonable for a secular Aussie to read. To me, that's very confronting, to read that to a secular Australian. That is as confronting as sitting in a university classroom as a creationist and having the lecturer go at me, test yeah. strips off me.
Yeah.
Because from the other side of it, tell us what that text means. I want you to unpack it for us a bit, for us Aussies who maybe not into the Bible all the time. And then tell me whether you think it's reasonable or not what Paul's saying.
Yeah, so this is actually a really powerful text, and I'm glad you brought it up, because verse 20 is, it's very confronting, as you said, right? So if you look, just zoom in verse 20 for a second. So it says, for since, this is, that was NLT, right?
Yeah, yeah. It doesn't matter what version yeah. it says, all same thing. Yep.
So this is New King James,
yep.
and it just says, because I don't have an NLT here, but it yep. says, for since the creation of the world, right? Yep. So here's the claim. Paul's writing this, and Paul, this is another interesting point. Paul was a opponent of Christianity,
yeah.
and he had an encounter with Jesus, and he became a Christian, right? And so he's writing this from a Christian perspective. He says, for since the creation of the world, so clearly he believed in creation, he says, his invisible attributes, this is referring to God, are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. So basically what he's implying here is that if you turn your attention to the things that the Bible claims are made by God, that's what we'd call creation, right? We call that the world, we call it nature.
So we talk about mountains and oceans.
Mountains, oceans, planet, the sky, space, the whole deal, right? What Paul's claiming here is that if you turn your attention to the things that you can see, what he's implying is, if you read the next part, it says, things that are, attributes that are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, that's the things that are revealed, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they're without excuse. His point is this: you don't need to read the Bible from cover to cover to believe in creation, or that there is a designer behind creation, that there's a God of creation. You don't need that.
Mm.
He's saying,
this is where I reckon it gets really confronting.
It is.
Because he's actually saying, well, I don't want to say what he's saying, but he's not just talking to Christians here.
That's right. He's actually talking to the non-Christians.
He's talking to secular Australians.
Yes.
This rolls down 2,000 years straight into the heart of secular Australia, straight into the heart of our universities.
Yep.
Yep.
People living all across this country, yep. different backgrounds, different cultures, doesn't matter.
Yep.
His bold proclamation here is that you don't even need the Bible to know this. If you just turn around and look at what's visible, and you will see, he says in the New King James, he says, you will see even his eternal power and Godhead. That means he's, like, I think he says, it says divinity, right? Yeah, it means he's God.
Yeah.
So what the implication is, this is the Bible's claim.
Yeah.
Paul, if you study nature, study what we would call nature in a non-Christian expression. We call it creation in a Christian perspective. Yeah, yeah. But you study nature. Pick your topic. Pick the Great Barrier Reef.
Yep.
Pick Outback Desert. Pick the kangaroo. Pick the giraffe. Pick the stars. Mm. Pick whatever you want to pick.
Mm, mm.
The implication of what Paul was claiming is you study that and you will see the power of God.
You will know God exists.
And there by default, knowing that he's the designer behind it, meaning he exists. That's the claim.
He's actually saying there's no excuse for anyone on the planet
yeah.
not to believe God is a creator.
You go look at I forget the name of the beetle now. There's a beetle in Africa, and it's a fire beetle.
Yeah.
Bombardier beetle?
I don't know.
One that spits out flames and steam?
He's got two cells in his abdomen.
He should blow himself up.
Yeah, that's right. He's got two different chemical compounds in his abdomen. And when he shoots those out together, it creates fire. Oh, he's got a picture of it. Here we go.
Hydrogen, what is it?
Hydrogen peroxide.
Yeah. He mixes that with high-pressure steam.
This is one of Hunty's favourite examples.
I love all this.
You love that one. Come, yeah. Yeah, he's even got a pin. It's a pin in his notes.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that beetle, for example, right?
Yeah.
You don't have to be a scientist. You don't have to be a PhD in micromechanics or biology.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Look, think about this for a second. How on earth can something evolve? Well, put it now. Let's forget the evolution part. Look, you study, like Paul says, just pick up the beetle out of creation, out of nature, and study the thing.
Yep.
Now go, wow, how could two explosive compounds be together in the single abdomen with a slight biological barrier between the two
yes.
that then creates this thing? And how, like, that's amazing. Like, we don't even see that in humans, like that level of explosive power, right? So here's the point. What Paul's saying is that there's no excuse for not seeing God.
The problem then is not that not that you can't see it. The problem is that you're trying to hide it. That's the problem.
So why are we doing that? Why?
Why are we trying to hide it?
Yeah.
So
I know we've touched on it, but even as you're thinking about that, I'm incredulous.
Yes.
Because is it David Attenborough? Is that the big...
He's the guru. Yeah.
Come on.
I know.
How can this dude spend his entire life doing just what Paul said to do?
Yeah.
Oh, you can't answer for him, I know, but how do they do it and not see, if it's not God, at least some sort of intelligent
design?
Yeah.
Well, it's because of what I just said before, right? If you're not seeing the intelligent design behind it, it's because you're trying to hide it.
Correct.
And so I have a theory, and it's just a theory. I can't point to a Bible text to prove it, but here's my theory. After studying a lot of time in history, especially like Middle Age history and things like that, there was a period on Earth's history where everyone believed in creation, at least some shape or form of it, right? Whether it's the Bible account with Adam and Eve and all that business, or whether it is some variant of it from one of the many world religions. But it's from around 500 to about 1700, this is AD, it was almost universal in a belief in creation, right? So here's the...
In fact, you could almost get burnt at the stake if you said anything other.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I hate to acknowledge that.
But that's part of the point, yeah. Right? So what you see when you study history is you start to see that there were behaviours committed, and atrocities, to be honest, on behalf of the name of God by Christianity. I will call apostate Christianity.
It was. Well, you don't just have to call it. It was.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
So what we start to see is, this is in Europe primarily, right? We see things like the Inquisitions. We see things like the heretics being burnt, so-called heretics being burnt, and all that sort of stuff. And basically, if you didn't believe the way that the church in town believed, then you were put to death. Mm. You can imagine that after about 1,260 years of that, it's getting a bit tiring, right? Yeah. And so
there's a bit of a backlash.
There is a backlash starting in what we now know and we call it the French Revolution, right? Mm. So the French Revolution was basically, let's get rid of two things. Let's get rid of the state power, as in the monarch, and let's get rid of the church power, as in the Pope.
And both were abusive.
Both were abusive. And so when they... knocked the table over there. When they push out church and religion in the main square, it creates a vacuum. And so the French Revolution, they marched around the goddess of wisdom and reason, right, to replace that. And this is the period that we refer to now, looking back, as the period of enlightenment.
That's right.
The period of modern discoveries and things like that. And in some respects...
And it was.
Yeah, for sure. And in some respects, it was because they removed the oppressiveness
of the church,
the institutional Holy Roman Empire, right? Mm-hmm. And so then you start to see under Protestantism this flourishing. People were now learning to read because they wanted to read the Bible, and so literacy increased and people started to get interested in discovery.
Evolution really has come out of Protestantism, hasn't it?
Now,
I don't mean out of the Protestant movement, but it's come out of the world of Protestantism.
Where there was literacy, where there was an improvement in... Like, here's the thing. All the early scientists were all Christian.
Yeah.
Like Sir Isaac Newton.
Well, they were.
Sir Isaac Newton...
Openly.
Like Sir Isaac Newton, maybe people don't know this, he's... father of science, right? Modern science. Yeah. But he is also a Bible commentator. He wrote a book on commentating Daniel and Daniel and Revelation. Mm-hmm. I mean, how many scientists today write commentaries on the Bible? So he,
A theologian.
So you see this point, sort of the 1700s, where there's this divorcing of institutional religion with its tyranny, and rightly so, to be honest, and that was the part of the Protestant Reformation. But at the same time, when that was being pushed out, it created a vacuum for people to step in and say, well, if we don't want God in the space of state and all this stuff, well, maybe we don't want God in this power, in the realm of anything. And so they started looking for ways to explain life and things without the church. Mm-hmm. And when they say church, they're ultimately meaning God.
Yeah.
And so that created this vacuum, and we're living now in the fruit of that, you know, a couple of hundred years later.
Look, we're running out of time. I do want to move to another subject tomorrow, off this one, to be honest. I do want to ask you one last question, which I don't know the...
6 minutes.
6 minutes, have I? Before the song.
Before the last song, yep.
And I don't even know whether I can say this right. Neanderthals.
Neanderthals.
Neanderthals. Yes. Help me, bro. This idea that in the evolutionary process, Neanderthals were part and that they have some sort of skeletal proof, evidence of them. Can you comment on that? And this will be our last comment on this. Maybe a little appeal at the end. And
yeah. So, but full disclosure, I'm not a scientist that lives and breathes this stuff.
No. Well, you are a scientist in a sense. But you've got science degrees, and
But I approach this from the perspective of logic, okay? And because that's my back. I'm a programmer. I'm in all that sort of stuff, right? So, here's the thing: if you go beyond what they tell you in school, and you actually try and, you know, as Hunter, you were saying, follow the science, so to speak, right? So have a look at what we know about these Neanderthals. Let's have a look if we know what we know about them, right? So here's what we're told. We're told that Neanderthals are ancient humans or precursors to humans. So we're told that there's this period in time where these Neanderthals existed, which are pre-human, and then in the textbooks, they'll tell you that along comes a post-modern sort of human. Not the post-modern now, but
post-Neanderthal.
Yeah, and they call it modern human, right? Which is our ancestors, apparently. And so they argue that these were two separate species.
That's right.
But here's the challenge with some of this. And by the way, I'm not the only person that has these ideas. There's plenty of other scientists that talk about this. Here's the problem. If you look at what a lot of the textbooks teach about, from an evolutionary perspective, the relationship between humans today and chimpanzees, right? Our primate cousins, as they say. Mm. The difference in the DNA that we have between chimpanzees and humans today, the difference is exceedingly greater than the difference between a Neanderthal DNA, if we've even got such a thing, but that's what they say we've got, and human DNA. So here's the point. What's the difference? If the differences are so similar between the Neanderthal and a human compared to a human and a chimpanzee, which is supposed to be the closest primate. So here's my point. A lot of the objections out there to the idea that it's a separate species is just, it comes on what's your bias. If you come to the table with a bias that says, no, everything had evolutionary process and there's different stages and transitions and so on, then the bias is that you're going to read into that data, the biased. What many scientists are saying today is that the Neanderthals are nothing more or nothing different to humans that we have today. It's not anything different.
So they are human?
They're human, yeah, for sure.
Well, why are they claiming a difference?
Well, again, you have to ask the reason.
That was before DNA and before we could do these tests.
Well, apparently there are DNA tests for Neanderthal mitochondria, apparently. That's what some of the research that I read talks about. But basically, the fundamental question is this. They claim that these were European ancestry, and most of the human stuff that they've done now, the genome tracking, comes back to Africa today, right? That's what they argue. But the science that I've read that sort of says, well, yeah, but the difference between, say, an African-American, or not African-American, an African, and, say, an Asian, the difference is greater than the DNA that's between a Neanderthal and a human.
And I think that's the point I was looking for.
So how do you arrive at that conclusion?
So what you're probably looking at is two different human races, one from one area of the world, one from another, and the slight differences in DNA that we see, which are even more, they're expressed in a greater way today between us and, say, Asians or
That's
Africans.
Right. That's exactly the point. So if you come with a bias of, everything had to have some existence before something, you're going to read that into the data. But there are scientists out there who are not Christian who just say, actually, no, the difference between an Asian and an African is more than a Neanderthal and a human.
Good discussion today. Last appeal. To anyone listening who is thinking, possibly prepared to at least envision that perhaps there was a creator, what would you say to them as we close this conversation today?
Well, you know, Hunter, you said before, follow the science.
Follow the science. Yeah.
Follow the science. And the science to me is basically this. Ask yourself this question. Can the most complex thing in the universe that it has no apparent human designer, can it be just random? And that's the basis of the question. And then work backwards from that. And I think getting this book will be a good help for someone
give
with that question.
Give us the book again, and Hunty, give us a number.
You want to pick up your phone. You want to send a text message with the word creation, and you want to send it to the phone number
0488 880 851,
and we'll get this book, Creation and Evolution, absolutely free of charge, sent out to you.
Fantastic, Hunty.
Well, I'd like to go for another song. So just one of my favourites is by Andre Crouch, and it's entitled Through It All.
Through it all. Sing it. Thank God for every mountain, and I thank Him for the valleys, and I thank Him for those storms already brought me through. For if I never had a problem, I never knew that God could solve them. Never know what faith in His word could do. Now I tell you, if through it all, God never failed me.
Through it all,
He never let me down. Oh, but I learned
to trust in Jesus.
Trust in Jesus.
A glorious song, and the legend, Andre Crouch.
He's not here anymore.
No, he's not.
He's gone.
He's gone.
Did you know he was a pastor?
I didn't.
He is a local church. He was a singer. He was a local church pastor, and he had a fair bit to do with Gaither. And you know the other big... Do you know Robbie, who... what's his name again?
Andre Crouch.
Andre Crouch used to sing for. One of the biggest evangelists in the world.
Was it Billy?
Billy Graham.
Oh, yeah. Billy Graham, excellent.
Yeah, he's a Billy Graham singer.
Nice.
Look, we've come to the end of what I reckon was a really, really good conversation. We've got five big questions. Tomorrow we're going to have a look at America.
Oh, okay.
We're going to have a look at Trump and Harris.
Ooh.
We might even drift over to Israel and the Palestinians. We might even go across to Ukraine and Russia. I want to have a look at it from a biblical perspective. I want to ask you tomorrow, is this prophetic, what's going on?
Mm.
Does the Bible ever talk about guys like Trump? And does it ever talk about guys like, oh, well, it's not guys, Putin. Ladies like Harris and Putin? And that's where I want to go tomorrow.
It's been a good conversation.
So what time will be on tomorrow, Robbie?
Same again, 3:30.
Are you going to be late? Do we need to start without you? No, I bet you we do.
I'll do
you
my best.
You never know. You never know.
Well, we're glad to have you here. One more time. There is a great book that's being offered here. Free. And mm-hmm. and when I say free, there's absolutely no conditions to that. We're not going to follow you up after. It's we're going to send it to you. And you'll look at it. If you're interested, you can follow up with us.
So tell us again, Robbie, what's in the book?
It's a book about creation and evolution, and it's going to look at the... Basically, it's a very simple read. It's about five big chapters on ideas to consider when you're looking at this argument between evolution and creation.
Yeah.
Nice.
Where are you going to get it?
You're going to get it if you text the word creation to 0488 880 851. And if you're listening to us and you don't have a phone, don't want to text us, just send an email to theaussiepastor@gmail.com. Put the word creation there and give us your address, and I will make sure we send it out to you. So that number again, 0488 880 851. Who's going to pray to close the prayer?
You are, but I've got one last quick question for Robbie.
Okay.
Robbie, you got seconds for this.
Okay.
What difference did it make when you came to the conclusion that God was the creator of the world? What difference did it make for you personally? You get about 10 seconds.
It gives you a sense of purpose and hope. You have purpose because now you have an identity, and you have hope because you know that someone else is in control, not just random abstract.
Fantastic. Hunty, pray.
Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, this information is probably new to some people, so Lord, I pray that you will bless the listeners who we've given a bit of a shake to today, Lord. Put your loving arms around them and bring them close to you. We thank you for this chance to hold you high in our community today, Lord, and look forward to talking to you again tomorrow, Lord. Amen.
My name is Lloyd Grolham, and I'm the Aussie Pastor, and up the end there, that's who?
Robbie.
From the
Faith Experiment.
Yeah, and my name's Hunty, and I'm the tech. And you know what? We love you.
But
Jesus loves you so much more.
See you later, everybody.
See you later.
Bye.
See ya.
Thanks for joining the Aussie Pastor. If you enjoyed today's program and would like to find out more about Jesus, our ministry, or ways to support us, go to aussiepastor.com.